By the time I left that meeting, I had a new baby, and I think I found an Oregon sponsor. Shortly after that, I went to some meetings at the Jesco Club. At the Jesco Club, there was this white-haired old fart that was kind of cruel to some of the newcomers, and I obviously had the same, not quite as a reputation, but I wasn't always kind in the way I approached problems. And he came over, patted me on the back, and says, "Come here, young man, I want to buy you a cup of coffee." And he managed to get up here tonight. "Clint, where are you hiding, my dear friend? Come on up. Anniversary date, March 16, 1949. Take 5 or 10 minutes and tell us how you did it.
I listened to what they told me today, and I did it. That's all I knew. And that's still all I know. I came to this program on 19th. I'm going to explain one thing myself before I get started too much of anything, because I've been unfortunate in the past 5 years to have acquired 4 different strokes. And the last one just about did me up. But I'm still going. And now I am able to, after 2 years, I was unable to even walk. And thank God I got rid of all the doctors and all the rest of them for about 4 months. And I got some medication that I sent to France for. And in 4 weeks, I got back on my feet. I'm able to walk. Not too much yet, but I'm working on it. And I am going to National Innovation in 20th this month. So, in the past, I am Clint, and I am an alcoholic, and I started originally in 1947, and at that time I lived in Coos Bay, and I had a restaurant there, and two cab outfits, and I used to do all the bootlegging and all everything in that community. And so finally my attorney kept after me, and I finally broke down, and I really didn't listen to him. But then a couple of days later, an old gentleman from another fellow that was a salesman came into my business, and I wasn't quite as drunk that day as I normally was. And he stopped to see me, and he told me, he says, "There might be a few people in Portland that might be able to help you with your problem." And so I had another drunk that worked for me, and I told him, he says, "We're going to close this place up, and we're going to come to this meeting." And so he and I got together, and we left on Sunday night, and or Monday night, I mean, and we drove to Portland and went to a meeting. And strangely enough, I didn't do much about it at the time. We were a little bit late when we got there, but as we were there for a few minutes, and there was only about 15 people in that room at that time. And so we all led all the stories that everybody had, the story about what they were like. And so finally, after it was all over with, somebody had said something about this here book. And so I looked over to this deal, and I decided I was going to get that book. And I went up to the deal to look at it, and I was standing there looking at the book and wondering where I could see if I could find somebody to pay for it. And about that time, an old guy walked up to me, and he looked down his nose at me, and he said, "What the hell are you doing around here?" He says, "You couldn't be a drink if you wanted to be." He says, "You're too young." And I was 33 years at that time. And I didn't argue with him. I did tell him that I was going to come back anyway. And I did that. I did that for 3 months that we drove back and forth to Portland. And we went to that meeting, and we never agreed with anybody down that part of the country at that time. And finally, I just decided I had to get out of here. If I couldn't stay sober, because I wasn't doing the things that I was doing. And so I sold out and decided to go to San Francisco, which I did. And I went down there, and I stuck around there, and I got acquainted with all the old guys around there that were, and there were quite a few of them in down California at that time, although there was very few in this part of the country. And so I stayed there for a year, and I finally decided, well, I'm going back up into Oregon. And I got back in Oregon, and I decided, well, I didn't know anything else, so I decided I'd go back into the restaurant. And I bought this place, and I up in coast, in Cokeville, I mean, up out of the coast there. And I have trouble with remember being able to talk a lot of these things. So they catch me all the time. But anyway, I went to work in that, and I was working pretty hard and keeping busy. And one night, one of the railroad people come in with a bottle in his hand, and he said, "Clint," he said, "you look like you are about worn out." And he said, "You better have a drink." And so I took that drink. And it took me, that one took me on a trip for 9 months, 3 months, I mean. Because, and I came to the end of that, and I didn't have any knowledge of anything about where I was, what I'd done, or anything else. And I had found during that time, when I was first in Coos Bay, I had been able to meet another salesman that was coming through there, and he wanted, he said he needed some help for that. So we worked that day on all day on that, and finally he decided to go home. And so I gave him my book and all the papers that I had, and I started him home. And strangely, I never saw him again until about 2 years later. And at that time, I got this drunk, and as I told him when he came to see me, he says, "Well," he says, I'll be around in case you need it." So 3 months later, when I finally, I was so far gone that they couldn't get me in the hospital, couldn't do anything, so they finally kept me a doctor. I don't know who he was. I wish I did, because and after I was in that for about 3 days, or 5 days actually, what he told me, he came out of it, and I told him that I must have been in a hell of a shape when I come in here. And he says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "It's been here for 3 days." And he helped me out, and I got back to life. And I made up my mind at that time that regardless of anything that ever happened, that I was never going to get involved in that problem again. So on the in 1949, I was able to get going, and I kept this going. And I left around a great deal. I left from there, and I went to Portland, and I was there for a while. And then out of that, I decided I was going to Seattle. And I did, and I went in, to Seattle, and I had my idea of what I wanted to do, and so I had to do a lot of looking around on it, and I finally came up with the idea that I was going to go to work working on banks. And that was rather a strange thing for me, because I used to get in all sorts of trouble with all the tanks drunk before all these things when I was drinking. They were always arguing me about whether I was going to pay all my bills or not, all of this. But anyway, I got into this, and I went into that business, and I started out. And I had one thing I had to do was I did learn very shortly that these people that I was going to be working with and doing with, I had to let them know that because I knew my background that wasn't very receptive to me being responsible being in a bank. And so I went to work there, and I explained to this vice president that I worked for, and he finally decided that he would give me a chance on it. And so I went to work on that and did a lot of things for, it took 19 years that I actually worked on that before I got out of that kind of work. And at that time, the only reason I got out was because I had my neck broken in an automobile accident, and I couldn't walk for about 3 days. And finally, they operated on me, and I was able to get back to the point where I could get around. And all of these things happened, you know, and but I, during all of these years, I had been in the very early years, I had made a lot of trips back in the East Country. And during those years, I was able to get acquainted with Bill, and I did meet Bob and Bo. I can't remember all these names, but it was. I finally got acquainted with all of these things, and I had met in Portland in the first days when I came there, that Doc Hemkley was, he was the one that started in Portland, and he was became a very close friend of mine after I went back into the program, and he insisted that every time I had to go out to one of the joints or the present or any place like that, that I had to go along. So each time, and needless to say that because of that, and thank God for it, all of those years spent a lot of time with me, and a lot of intentions, and also in the hospitals and various other things around the country, and so that kept me sober. Anyway, that's the thing that has kept me sober more than anything else in this world, is the fact that I was able to meet those people and go to those meetings. I could get along with everybody, And all of these things fell into place. And then a little later than that, I decided that I wanted to be in Seattle, where I had come up with the idea that I wanted this idea. And I went up there and in the work that I was doing, and I was very successful in that, because there were a lot of things that I picked up that I could do, things that I had never been able to do before. And those are things that kept me going. And many, many times I stood in various towns and backs and I always, everybody got so they knew that I was a member of AA. I didn't have to get that way. Everybody seemed to adapt that. And so I was given a pretty good job of getting acquainted with everybody all over the area. And all of these things have gone along for quite a number of years. And during that time, I left there, and I left from Seattle finally after I had to live that, because the doctors told me I was going to kill myself if I didn't change my work. So then I went to work for Sale and the Securities, and I went to, at that time, I went to Alaska. And I'd never been to Alaska, and I didn't know anything about it. And so I decided I was going to Alaska. And I got up there in 1991. And at that time, I had been in AA at that time for quite a period of time, about 19 years. And in that, I had learned that the program had many things that we had to learn. And at that time, we had a situation in Alaska where we had one fellow in Alaska that he thought he was God, and he told us all what they could do and what we couldn't do and anything like that. And so finally another fellow that had come up here had gotten into, started in the program, and he and I got together and we decided we were going to start a program in Alaska and get this straightened up a little bit, because at that time they didn't have any of the 12 books, the books of the 12 books or anything like that. They had the big book and a lot of things like that, but that was it. And so we had quite a hassle over that. And finally in 1932, we put it together and finally got rid of all of the people in Alaska. And strangely enough, they had a man in that place that had been doing a lot of things, but the fellow that thought was God, he made everything, he appointed everybody to it. And the delegate that we had in this country at that time was one that he would fool around and get drunk and do a lot of drinking and stuff like that. And I kept after him. I said, you can't belong to AA and do the things you do. And, oh, yes, I can. So this went on until such time as we got this put together. And finally we went into election, and that day we finally went to the first election in the state of Alaska. And uh, in it we put together the people that we had gone to various ends to there, and everybody, we argued quite a bit that, but we finally got it straightened up. And after we did that, a couple of days later, this our former delegate that had been out drinking and fooling around, he went to over to his forced wife's, and she threw him out, and in fact, she shot him. And that eliminated that problem for us. And then God, the God man that we had, he decided to go to Hawaii, and he got over there and he fell up the steps of some place and fell and broke his neck. So all of our problems got straightened out again, and we finally got to where we were, where we rode AA instead of all of this other stuff that we had done before. And during that time, I was, for those many years I was in Alaska, I worked a great deal with all of the things that the various did, and the schools and things of that nature. And so, you know, we come back to these things, and then we come back to the lower 48. Because all these things have to come to an end at some time. And my wife was a nurse. And she wanted to finish her doctorate. And so we moved to Missouri. And she went to work in the hospital there, and the hospital. And that was where we was till such time she died. But these things are all things that come together, and on the things that we have done every day, because these are the things we do each and every day. As I've often said, the only thing that we have to worry about is to know the things that we have been taught to in AA. Because you can take any book in this book, and you can tell you by every word that they is said, it can answer every problem you have in life. And I have lived by that for many years. I can't read them now. I can't read the book, but then I still know as much about it as I did before, and I get along pretty good with it. But all of these things are things that came from the things that came before. You know, we come into this meeting here tonight, and even the last time I was here, I well remember there was a lot less people here than there is now. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about AA, because we come to this meeting and we learn eventually through the people we come to know in it, that we know what's going to happen. And that's the important thing. We have people that they learn, and all the time they either get sober or else they move by the sideway. And I'll just to give an example of it. I came to this program in 90s, and I went to the first international conference in Missouri. And fortunately that time there was just a very few people in the meeting. And it was the second meeting I had, and I had asked somebody where there was a meeting, and they told me there were a couple of moras, and I went to this, and I found out that was the day that we It was a conference. It was the second international conference. And we went to that, and that's when I learned that about Bill doing the things that he had done in relation to the 12 books in recovery, and all of those things that have gone into the various things that had been put by him and with Bill. Of course, Bob passed in 42. Or 41, 42. So, you know, and from that time on, it was Bill was, everything was in his name, and everything, he was the only thing. So at that time, in 1945, he made the deal that all of it was all turned over to the International and function. So that's how that came about. And I happened to be at that meeting, and it helped me a lot, because in that I did learn more about all of this that we had never been able to give before. Because before I came to this program, we weren't interested about how much we were going to buy off each and every one of them. We were told to go out there and help that new man that was going to turn up. So we did that. And that's the way it continued until such time as they finally got the government into it, and they all got their own deals that they put into it. And it all got a lot worse at that time. And today we go in, and I don't know anything about any of these here places that they have all of these things unless they have been there before. Because I just don't, I didn't come to AA and learn that somebody's going to take care of me. I came to this program. I was given the opportunity. They told me, they said, pick up and sit down and shut up, and we'll tell you when you can talk. 3 years later, they let me talk. And, you know, that until I had this last stroke, I've done pretty good at it, too. But, you know, I do. So these are the things we do today. And instead of doing all of the things that we had to do, used to have to do, to help those people get well and try to get them back into the book and reading that thing. Today, 9 out of 10 people that come to this program don't even read the book. So many of them look at it and they think it's something that somebody just put it there to be used. They don't tell you what it's all about. And that's where we make our big mistake, because you're supposed to go back and really learn those things. And then they wonder why they go out. Like the other day, a friend of mine, he had 4 years. And that night he'd gone out and got drunk, I know, about 2 or 3 days before that. And he had a bad time coming back. And another one in the same day, 2 in 1 day, as I told him, it was my lucky day, because he's the one that got me sober that day. And I do. I mean, I thank God for them people, because they are the ones that keep me sober every day. But today we don't have many of those people, because they run them off to the drag out place and places like that. And then they have a lot of people in there that are practicing of what they don't really know what they're talking about when it comes to AA. They got all the other things involved in it. So all I can say is, I know this, I know that these people all started the same way, just like with Dr. Bob, with Doc Hinckley. He was the first man in this town, and a fellow from Philadelphia had been sent out here to do work with his school, and he had gone to a meeting with that guy. And that is what started it in this town. And the two in Seattle had originally gotten it, had gone to Seattle. They had gone from Portland after they had written the article that was put by the port on that. And they had gone to Seattle, or to Portland, to back east, and talked to Bill, and also he saw Bob at that time too. So, you know, these are things, that have been religiously put together for each and every one of us that's been here. And we all know what will happen if we don't do it. I don't know whether how many people here even think that it's really important, whether they know what all that is about or not. But if they don't learn, I'll guarantee them in AA, if you don't stick with the program and follow the steps in that book, then we're headed for trouble. And that's all I can say.